Hello, mamas, and thank you for listening to Always With Me, episode 19. I'm your host, Diana Collins, and today's guest is Kendra Hennessy. Kendra is a coach and home management strategist, and the founder of Mother Like a Boss, where she helps busy modern moms become homemakerish. Her mission is to redefine homemaking in the 21st century and make the difficult parts of running your home smoother through systems, routines, and mindset shifts. She lives in upstate New York with her husband Adam and their two spunky offspring, Ava and Everett. Kendra is a Girl Scout co-leader, a podcast and audiobook junkie, and a coffee lover. She loves helping moms gain confidence in their homes so they can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying their awesome lives. You guys, I had the pleasure of connecting with Kendra and becoming her friend and getting to know her even better through just the months that I've started this podcast. And she has such a sense of humor and is so helpful when it comes to running your home. Because let's be honest, ladies, being a homemaker ain't easy. I'm just learning it now since that I've quit my job. I work from home and now it's my job to maintain the home, right? And boy, no wonder I was stressed out when I worked outside of the home. So enjoy Kendra and our conversation. It's a good one and I can't wait for you guys to listen. Also, I highly recommend checking her out because she has got some great tips, and I make sure to leave that her website on our show notes, of course, as always, at alwayswithme.org. Okay, guys, here we go with Kendra. So, Kendra, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk.
Yes, yes. So, ladies, Kendra and I have been talking off and on for the past couple of weeks, actually, and I am excited for you guys because this is going to be a good talk.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So, let's just hop into our questions. If you want to just share a little bit about yourself and your mommy journey to start with.
Absolutely. So, like you said, my name is Kendra Hennessy, and I am the founder of Mother Like a Boss. I'm a home management strategist and coach for moms. So what that means is I basically help moms to run their homes more effectively. And my mission is to help moms become homemakerish. That's my word that I use because I try and make all of those kind of hair pulling tasks around the house. I make them easy and simple and kind of give you the strategies and the tools and the tips that you need to do all the homemaking things. And I like to bring it into the 21st century and make homemaking a little more modern.
Yes.
What
did we come up with? Or was that you or somebody else? But I called it a Stepford Modern Mommy.
Yes, that's exactly.
I love it.
Yeah. Homemaking has gotten a pretty weird rap over the last few years. And so I'm trying to change that a little bit by showing moms that they can be super modern, super hip, and still rock it at home.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, I just love your motto and how you homemakerish, really. And I feel like a lot of these moms or a lot of the older moms are like, just, F the house, don't even worry about it. It doesn't have to be squeaky clean. And that's the advice that I would get, and which is great. But at the same time, I was never home. So my laundry was never done. My dishes were never done. And eventually things start stinking and I can't handle that.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's been this turn of there's these signs that people have excuse the mess. My kids are making memories. And I'm you can do both. You can have a house that's clean and your kids be making memories at the same time. Doesn't have to be one or the other. And so I try to get moms past that actually when your house is clean and when it's organized and clean and organized for you, not for anyone else, it's far less stressful for you. And when you're less stressed, you're a happier mom. When you're a happier mom, your kids are happy and it's just a happy cycle. Right. So
let's talk about, speaking of mommyhood, what was your journey like and how many kids do you have?
So I have two kids. My daughter turned 10 yesterday.
Yeah.
And my son turned 4 last week. So my journey into motherhood started when I was young. I mean, young nowadays. I was 22 when I became pregnant. So that's young by today's standards.
Yes, it is.
Pregnant.
I was 23.
It was weird because none of my friends, like, it was just out of college and none of my friends were having babies. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I got pregnant and I actually started my first business, which was my cleaning and organizing business at the same time, which was just an ingeniously bright idea to start a business when you're 22 and have no business experience and pregnant. Yeah. Really genius. So, and then I had my daughter, and to be very honest with you, motherhood for the first few years was quite easy for me. Easy, relatively speaking. And the reason I say that now is because when my son was born, when my daughter was six, when my son was born, it became very difficult. Yeah. So now in hindsight, I see how easy it was when I had my daughter, because once I had my son, I saw what everyone had been talking about.
That's totally me. I was like, Everyone's like, oh, you're not going to sleep. And that's my first one, right? And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I have my second one. Oh, this is what you're talking about.
Okay. That's Diana, that's exactly what I went through. My daughter slept through the night. We never went through terrible twos. She was amazing. She was just like this. She just the way she is, even at 10, she's still that way. And, you know, my son, bless his heart, I love him to death, but he didn't sleep well in the beginning. He had horrible, horrible eczema as an infant and a toddler, still does. And so he didn't sleep, no fault of his own.
Yeah.
And then you put into that the whole, you know, postpartum and baby blues, and you have another kid to take care of. And it's like the perfect storm.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So motherhood changed a lot for me after my second, a lot. I think two from one was harder for me than one from zero, to be very honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, my depression, and we'll talk more about yours just a little bit, because, you know, I know you mentioned you had it a little bit, but I think after my second one is when it hit me deep. But then again, thinking of the timeline, I was grieving a loss at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm praying out there nobody ever has to grieve and have a baby 3 weeks later.
Oh, yeah.
After finding out, you know, after saying goodbye at the funeral. Yeah. But let's touch into postpartum depression. I know we talked about you having your second child and you're kind of like, what's going on? If you can share that experience and how you manage that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because at the time, and I don't know if other mothers are like this too, but at the time I didn't think that it was postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. Because with my first, I'd had just a touch of the baby blues, nothing, about a week, but nothing big, kind of your hormones coming down. And with my son, I realize now that it was less depression and more anxiety. Mm-hmm. The anxiety hit me so hard after he was born, like within 48 hours, I was in almost like a full out panic. We had some other issues that had happened too with my husband's business, some stuff going on that he just couldn't foresee. Yeah. And so we were kind of dealing with that, but I realized that I had become so, used to my routine with my daughter for mm-hmm. 6 years that I felt like now I was thrown into this new routine. I'm never going to be able to keep up. Things are never going to be the same. Why did I do this? Then I feel guilty because I'm asking why I did this. This baby didn't ask to be born. I wanted this baby. Mm-hmm. We tried for this baby. Like all of these emotions. Then he wouldn't sleep. Then I didn't sleep. Am I spending enough time with my daughter? I felt anxious all the time, and it manifested itself into almost OCD. Mm-hmm. Where I would develop, it was like, well, if all of these things are going to throw me into this tailspin and I don't have the same routine as I used to, I'm going to create a routine and it's going to be ritualistic and I will do the same things every day. And I just became kind of nutty about making sure that things were done. And I just felt sad. I felt sad a lot of times holding my son. And I didn't know why. And I was like, but I love him. He's so cute. He's so sweet.
he is adorable.
He is cute. But it's so hard. And I think that it's such, you know, it's such a taboo subject, even still in 2017, which is crazy that we don't talk more about this because moms feel so alone. Mm-hmm. You do. You feel alone. You feel like if you tell someone, my sister had a baby in July and I told her when I got there, I said, how do you feel? No one was in the room. It was hours after she gave birth. I said, how do you feel? And she goes, do you want to know honestly? And I said, yeah. And she goes, I don't feel anything. And mm-hmm. I said, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's all right. And you be okay with that because you're going to see a lot of smiling faces over these next few days. Everybody's going to be happy because they're not going through what you're going through right now. And that's what's hard is seeing everyone smile and everyone's happy to see the baby. And you're like in the shell, yes. Like, I just want to go to sleep.
Right. Can I just, it's like, I had C-sections and they were not planned.
Yep.
Sometimes looking back, I'm kind of like, maybe it's a good thing I had a C-section. I don't know. To try to, not to be TMI to our listeners, but to try to have to push a baby out and I'm tiny. I don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, man. But I see these – when I had my first one, I was watching a bunch of YouTube videos. I don't know. Sometimes you just fall into YouTube.
Yeah.
And you see these moms holding their babies on their chest and they're crying and they're so ecstatic. And that didn't happen to me. I mean, I cried, but I wasn't – I didn't get to hold my child skin to skin. It just wasn't that picture perfect birth.
Right.
And I don't think, like you said, it's so taboo. I don't think we talk about the darkness. Then again, do we really want to? I mean, it's like Facebook. Right. We only show our highlights of the day.
Yeah.
So I just wish that we would talk about it more. But that's why we're here. So
yeah, exactly. And it's funny you said the thing about the C-section because my son, I actually had at home. I had a home birth. So
nice. That's right. Yeah.
So I got the whole skin to skin thing and I was really happy in those first 24 hours, really on a high. It was the next day that low hit so hard. I mean, it was like a, oh my God, it was like a brick wall. I told my husband, I was sitting on the couch and I was just crying. Oh. And he's like, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know how to fix you.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, there's all this research out there about which birth, you know, causes, you know, more heightened amounts of postpartum. And I'm like, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it just happens for whatever reason. And maybe if we stopped blaming the way a woman has the baby and instead started talking about it, you know, like you are bringing it to the forefront, then maybe women would, you know, find more peace.
Absolutely. I mean, I felt guilty for having a C-section and my nurse, one of my nurse for my first one said, you are no less of a woman than the woman next door who had a vaginal birth.
Not at all.
Because I felt so guilty. I was like, what kind of woman am I? This is my God-given right. I'm a shameful woman kind of thing. You know how a man's supposed to be the breadwinner, and if he's not a breadwinner, he feels ashamed.
Absolutely.
Well, that's how I felt, and it was terrible. Nobody ever told me I was going to feel this way.
Exactly. Yep. So, yeah, no one prepares you for this.
No. I mean, there's textbooks, and they'll give you the textbook answer, but
right.
I think my goal is to just shine that light and be honest, be real. Like, it's not going to be picture perfect.
Absolutely.
So, yes. You. But it's wonderful. Like, I love my kids. I can't imagine myself without them, you know?
Yep.
Whew. But anyway. So after you noticed your symptoms, was there anything that you did? Like, did you have to go see a doctor, take meds, or did it just go away?
I didn't have to. I talked to my midwife about it. So I was seeing a midwife. So I talked to her and she kind of kept tabs on me and we decided, you know, if it continued, then we would look into maybe medication. Yeah. It kind of slowly started to go away. And a lot of that kind of came from a combination of me getting some better routines down in my house, in my household, because that was really where a lot of my anxiety was coming from, is that I felt like I don't like change. I'm not a person who likes change. Yes. So this was such a new change for me that I had to adapt to the new way that things were. Mm-hmm. And so slowly that started to happen. And I had, I will say that I have such a good support system. My yes. family all lives nearby. So I knew that if I needed someone to just pick my daughter up from school or watch the baby, I mean, my mom, bless her heart, like my mom would just come over and sit on the chair and hold the baby and be like, okay, go take a nap. Go take a shower. Like that's, she didn't need me to entertain her. Yeah. She didn't need me to talk or anything. It was like, listen, I'm here to hold the baby. You do what you want to do. Do you want to take a nap? Do you want to take a shower? Do you want to do both? So those support things helped a lot over yes. those first few weeks, especially into the first few months. It helped a lot.
Yes. So to our listeners, like, don't ever be afraid to ask for help. If you have it, use it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's like my number. I swear people ask all the time. They're like, what's your number one tip for new moms? I'm like, take advantage of people. Mm-hmm. Like when people that sounds wrong, but you have all these people offering help. Take advantage. When someone says, hey, if you need help, ask, go, okay. And then text them and ask them.
Yes. Call them out on it. They said.
Always. Call their bluff.
Yes.
Because most people really do want to help. They just don't know how.
Yeah.
And if you need them to go pick up groceries for you, or my biggest thing was, could someone spend time with my daughter? Like take her out to dinner, take her somewhere so that she still feels special. But definitely ask for help, because when you just sit alone in your own head, in your own home, that's when kind of the crazy thoughts happen, you know? And and that's not good. You don't want to go down that road. So,
because it is very, very dark.
Absolutely. But yeah.
No, I felt so guilty just asking for, I think it was just because I was proud, and maybe it's a part of my culture because I come from an Asian background.
Yeah.
Maybe it is because I'm just proud and too stubborn, really. I'll admit it. I am stubborn. My husband's probably listening like, yes, yes, she is.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But no, like it took me 2 years of being a mom to realize like, you know what? Okay, fine. You want to come and help me organize the house? Do it. Let's go. When are you free?
Exactly. So, you start to ask like, okay, so you offered help. So when are you going to come over? Because I like need you over now. So are you free now?
Exactly. And I don't feel bad anymore. I used to feel like, oh, I'm taken away from, like, she goes to school. I feel bad. I don't want to disrupt her. No, she said she would. So,
exactly. Yes, that's how I feel too.
But the biggest thing is that if your friends love you, ladies, your family loves you, and when they say they want to help you, they really do want to help. You just got to point them in the right direction and tell them where to go.
Yes.
So. But if we, so when we, the last time we talked, we had talked about being that perfect mom, but then also being that perfect career woman. And I think you would agree, that's what society has built us as. And that's where a lot of our mother depression comes from. Mm. Personally, I want to be both.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us want to also, like I said, I want to be Stepford modern mommy.
So exactly.
If you want to like maybe elaborate on how you feel about that and how you became a work at home mom.
Yeah. So originally I started out and I worked outside of the home because I owned a cleaning and organizing business. So, you know, I had to do that in people's homes. And that was great. But after my son was born, I kind of thought, you know, I need to do something different. I need to, and it was really just about a year and a half ago that I thought, I love what I do. I love my clients and I love helping people, but I want to be able to be present more for my kids. And although I owned my own business, I didn't have a ton of freedom because you kind of have to clean people's houses like during the day. I couldn't go, well, my kids are asleep at 10 at night, so I'll do it then.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Well, so am I.
Yeah, exactly. So I totally understand the wanting to be the mom and you know, the working mom and the perfect mom and the perfect, you know, career woman, because so many moms struggle with that, mostly because, like you said, that's sort of how we've been molded. I don't like to compare the two, but I look at the way like my husband owns his own business. No one ever asks him if he feels guilty for being a working dad. Like no one asks that. Like, there's no working dad, like, you know, like the podcasts and the movements and stuff. It's like, no, you work 'cause you work because that's what you want to do. Either you love it or you have to, or a combination of both. And I'm still so flabbergasted that we haven't gotten on board with moms doing the same, whether they want to work or have to work, or maybe they just want to stay at home. But we haven't found that happy medium of just letting moms do what is best for their families and not judging them for it.
Yes.
And it's that judgment that creates the need to be perfect, because you think, if I'm not perfect, then I'm not worthy. And I've kind of let go of the perfectionism in a few different areas. I still struggle with it sometimes, but only because it's so – I give people the advice all the time not to compare yourself to others, but – I mean, come on, ladies. Like, we know how hard that is.
No.
Like, you can say it over and over until you see the mom that, like, I don't know, bakes the perfect cookies and always shows up to the meetings, like, looking great. And she has cupcakes and they're gluten-free. And they're and you're like, oh, my God, oh, you're amazing.
Here's my cookies from Albertsons.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, but then I realized after talking to a lot of moms that they're all doing that too. She's looking at another mom and thinking, like, you know, oh, my God, I wish I could work outside of the home too, or wish I could stay home too. Like, we're all just doing it to each other, and we don't know we are. So I know it's super hard not to compare, but I think that that cuts down on perfectionism a lot, is when you learn not to compare yourself to anyone else. Mm-hmm. Just compare yourself to you yesterday.
Yes.
Like, if you're doing better than you did yesterday, you're good.
Exactly. I know I compare myself to not just mom. Like, before I did this whole work at home thing, I would compare myself to the mom's group that I joined 2 years ago with when I had Genevieve, and it's like, oh, she's breastfeeding, or, oh, she seems like she's got it together. Oh, I wish I can stay at home, you know, and be with my children. Mm-hmm. Now I'm comparing myself to work at home moms. Like, oh, I wish I could design that. Oh, man, she knows how to design her own website. And it's just.
Yes.
Or, oh, she can afford a web designer, you know. And
yep.
You can't stop. I'm like, Diana, you just started this not even a month ago.
Yep.
So.
And no matter how big you get. I mean, you build this podcast and it's going to be amazing. And they say new level, new devil. Like, you're going to get to a new level and there'll be a whole new thing to compare it to.
It doesn't stop.
It's like it never ends. And because motherhood, you know, business and motherhood are both fluid. They're both constantly changing. So even when you get to, you're like, oh, sweet, my kid's old enough to, you know, they're potty trained. Okay, well, then that's a whole new other set of issues that come with that. Like, okay, now we have to stop every 30 minutes to go to the bathroom instead of them just having a flipping diaper.
Sometimes you're like, here's your diaper.
Like, can't you just wear a pull-up?
Don't
you know, so no matter where you go in your life or motherhood or work, there's always going to be something new to, like, you know, compare yourself to. If we can just stop comparing, then that would be awesome.
I would love that. Like, just even for myself, you know, I would get so much more done.
And I see that a lot just in my own business, because people are like, you know, well, I hear, oh my God, I hear all the time. They're like, oh my God, I just suck as a homemaker. And I'm like, says who?
Yeah.
Says, who told you that in your life? Like, you, why? Because you have piles of laundry. Well, welcome to motherhood. It's okay. You came to me and I'm going to show you how to maybe make that a little bit easier.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to show you some tips, or maybe we're going to talk about mindset and why things are like this. But, you know, you don't suck at it. It just, you know, maybe it doesn't come easy to you. But don't compare yourself to the other homemakers, because you don't know what stuff they have going on in their house. So.
Yeah. And let me tell
that's
you,
always my thought.
Let me tell you, and you've got two kids. I've got two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, doing laundry for four people. I'm kind of like, can we just go naked?
I hate, Diana, I literally hate laundry.
It doesn't stop.
I never stop. I will clean toilets all day. I mean, cleaning gives me so much joy. Yeah. Organizing gives me so much joy. Laundry gives me zero joy. I'm never joyful when I'm like folding towels. But my sister is. My sister loves it. She could do laundry all day. And I'm like, then come over and do my laundry.
Yeah, please.
I hate it. Oh my it's gosh. My nemesis.
You're going to laugh at me, but when I first had my daughter, my firstborn, I used to, because that's what the books told me to, you know, that baby detergent, I used to separate her clothes from the adult clothes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, second one, F that. Sorry, I'm done.
No, Everybody's together. I'm not separating anything. Exactly.
Don't
yeah,
care.
Yeah, it's first kid, second kid, definitely. Yes. I was so, so much with my second kid out. He was lucky he had clothes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. My poor second kid. She's got like her sister's clothes that got like,
oh my God, I know.
Stains.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know what though? I do give her like some new clothes or sometimes she gets new clothes, but you know, that's just second kid syndrome. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And you know what? On the whole, like, she's not going to know anything different. She's not going to remember any of that. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, oh gosh, it's so much fun talking to you.
Yeah, you too. But, could do this all night.
I know, right? Can we do this every day?
Right.
So a lot of moms, whether working moms or stay-at-home moms, like we said, they struggle with keeping their house clean. My goal in life is just keeping my home a home. Like that's what I want. I'm not no Mary Poppins.
Yep.
But I just want a home.
Yes, exactly.
I want to walk in and not – I want to remind myself that, Diana, you're not in your early 20s anymore. Because you know how your house was in college days versus now?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So that's what my goal is. But if you can, what is some advice you can share for moms who maybe just struggle in just keeping a routine or anything like that?
My biggest tip when it comes to cleaning or organizing or any of the homemaker-ish things is to really establish a schedule. And that could be as little as just having something written down on a piece of paper. It does not have to be fancy. If you want to get fancy with it, that's great. But just writing down like things that you're going to do each day, each week, each month, each year. People would be surprised that I've been in the cleaning business for 11 years and I do not spring clean my house. I don't ever spring clean my house because I don't need to. Yeah. And the reason isn't because I have a spotless home or because it's perfect. It's because I keep up on everything on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do it all at once and become overwhelmed. You know, if you just do a thing here, a thing there, it all gets done over time. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen is that moms become overwhelmed because they let things go. And once you've let it go for so long, you know, you're like, not doing it now.
It's totally me.
I'm not scrubbing that tub. That tub hasn't been scrubbed in forever. It's going to take me forever.
Yes.
So you kind of let it go. And then from there, you become apathetic. And then after apathy comes like stress, and then more apathy, and it's just a cycle. So if you can get on a schedule or a routine, some kind of cleaning routine, even decluttering, because listen, clutter again is fluid. Like you get rid of clutter, and what I call it is boomerang clutter. Like you get rid of it, it comes back. You get rid of it, it comes back.
Yep.
So getting on the routine, writing down, I mean, it's as simple as writing down on your calendar, like once a month, you know, just writing down on that Saturday, like, go through office papers. Mm-hmm. Boom. Once a month, it'll take you 15 minutes or less, and then it's done. But if you don't schedule it, it'll never get done. Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, moms, if you don't put it on the calendar, it's not getting done. I mean, that's just like, it's at least for me and every mom I know, if it's not on a calendar or on a to-do list, it is never getting done.
Oh, absolutely. I have to put, I'm not kidding you. I have my paper planner. I have my phone calendar.
Yeah.
I have a whiteboard. It has to be everywhere for me.
Yes. Yes. Because you have to, our brains are just so full of all of these things, mm-hmm. especially as moms, because you're not just thinking of you, you're thinking of other people. And if you don't put it down, you know, we think of just putting down appointments, but if you put down, you know, clean the bathroom, you're far less likely to break an appointment with yourself if you have it on the calendar. Just like you wouldn't break an appointment with a doctor, you are far less likely to break that appointment because you've scheduled in the time. So you go, well, I've scheduled in this 20 minutes. I might as well do it.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. So having a really good schedule is one of my, best tips for when it comes to just home management, all around. Yeah.
I love that. Like,
yep.
I know that for me, it was the buildup. Like I worked Monday through Friday and I was an hour away from home. So by Saturday, I'm exhausted. I don't want to, last thing I want to do is, I mean, I used to have a housekeeper who I paid $100 a month, maybe 80. No, it was 100. And God, I loved her so much. But now I quit my job. So now I'm like, no, I got to do it myself.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm kind of like you. I enjoy it, and it gives me peace. I'm not as overwhelmed, and just keeping up. Like today I cleaned the toilet, and I was like, ha, check that off my list. Good.
Exactly. Done. And it just feels good. Like when it's done, you just feel better. Even if it's something as small as cleaning a toilet or wiping off a mirror, you're like, mm-hmm. oh my God, I've been meaning to do that forever. Look how clean it is. You feel good. Yeah. And when you feel good, you create momentum. And that's what we're trying to create in a home is momentum, because momentum keeps you going. Yes. So you want to kind of create that snowball effect.
Yeah. And maybe even for me, I like to turn on some 80s jam.
Yeah.
And that's what gets me going.
That's why I tell people all the time, make it fun. Like if you hate cleaning, like make it fun. There are plenty of things that I don't like doing. Like I don't love to exercise. It's not my jam. So I have to make it as fun as possible when mm-hmm. I do it. So I like to do dance stuff, because I'm like, listen, if I'm going to work out, I want to be having fun. So I'll dance.
Yes.
So if you hate cleaning, make it fun. Make it a race. Like give yourself, put a timer on for 10 minutes and go, I'm going to get as much done as I can in 10 minutes. Like make it, do something to kind of get the... make it not so mundane, mm-hmm. and you'll find that you can probably get it done a lot easier. Yeah. So,
and I have to ask, since you have a 10-year-old, do you? And so, for moms who do have older kids, do you model that for them? Do you give her chores as well at home?
Oh yeah, she does all her own laundry. I don't do any of her laundry. So I taught her last year how to work the washer and the dryer. Nice. So she knows how to do that. She puts her own laundry away. My son is 4. He helps me put his laundry away. He obviously isn't big enough to use the washer and the dryer, nor would I trust him to do that.
The whites go into the dark.
At all.
Pink into yellow. Yeah.
Oh, he'd probably take a swim in the washing machine.
Like,
he's just, you know, that kind of kid.
Yes.
So but he helps me put it away. He's responsible for putting all of his toys away. He likes to help wipe things down. So we give him he had his own little spray bottle of water at one point that we just gave him for the table. Cute. I love the word model. I'm so glad you use that word, because that's such an important thing, is that your kids need to see you model it, not just tell them to do it because they don't know how. They need to be shown. Like I had to show my daughter 5 or 6 times how to turn the washing machine on before she got it.
Yeah.
And part of the problem with giving kids chores that I see moms have is, well, they're not going to do it right.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm like, sometimes you got to let things go.
Yeah.
Like my daughter doesn't put her clothes away the way I would, but it's not my closet.
Yeah.
So I have to go, okay, is it worth it to me that I don't have to spend the time doing that? Yes. Is it worth it to me that she's learning? Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't care how it's put away. It's put away. So definitely modeling that really good behavior of chores is great. And getting away from the word chore helps too, and calling it a task or something, mm-hmm. because chores usually have a negative connotation. And sometimes kids don't like that word. So like call something else. Then they won't know the difference.
What's another fun word to call it?
That's weird. I was trying to think of that for a while. Like, what could we call that? and whether
tasks.
You want. Yeah, exactly. There's tasks. I'm going to have to come up with a really fun word. And I also tell moms, like, whether you monetize it or not is totally up to you. Like, I have no opinion on the matter of giving allowance or not. That's completely up to you your budget and your house and how you want to do things. We don't do like a chore for dollar amount. Mm-hmm. It's more of a continual thing. Like, you're doing your chores and stuff, so therefore, you know, maybe we go to the store and I let you pick something out.
Yeah,
As they get older, I would like to do things that more have money involved, because we're trying to teach them about, you know, money management and stuff. But, you know, that's a whole other lesson.
Yes. That's a whole nother season.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
But I love how you talked about modeling. And I mean, my 2-year-old likes to help me put laundry in. And whenever she has a spilled water or something, she likes to find something, the nearest thing. Sometimes it's my shirt, but whatever.
Yes.
And tries to wipe it down. Whatever. It's totally choose your battles, ladies. And maybe they might not do it right. And that's something that frustrates me, is that when mom's like, oh, they don't know how to do it, I'm just going to do it themselves. Or, you know, you have that control. Like, sometimes you just got to let it go, because that's the one thing that's making you overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's so true. That word, the word overwhelmed, totally. And mm-hmm. and if you don't teach them, so my philosophy is if you do everything for them, then you're kind of doing them a disservice because yes. they're not going to know how to do things in life. Mm-hmm. They're also going to expect things to be done for them. And kids want to help. Mm-hmm. I know people don't think that, but usually the people that I hear saying that have like teenagers that never had chores and they're like, well, they don't want to help. And I'm like, well, because you never gave them chores. Yes. Yeah, you never gave them anything to do. But if you give them stuff young, they want to help. They like to feel useful. I know yeah. with my son, all I have to do is put a high pitched voice on and make it sound like a really good time. And he's like, okay,
I'm down.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah, just getting them involved and letting them see what you do and start young. Like you said, your daughter's two and she can help. Yeah. People do not give enough credit to kids. And I have a whole part of one of my courses where I talk about like kids' chores and people are like, my 4-year-old can't load the dishwasher. And I'm like, well, no, maybe they can't load like the big plates, but yeah. give them their fork and tell them to put their fork in there, yeah. you know, start small.
Yeah. So. I know it can be frustrating because my 2-year-old likes yeah. to take things out and put it back in. Yes. But you know what I did? I said, hey, Jen, let's put the dish, you know, the fork inside. Let's close it. And then I lift her up and she pushed the button for her. And that was like the highlight of her day.
Absolutely. So, they love that. They love to help. They love to feel important. Love it.
Yeah, it's so cute. Like, so she'll bring things to me. She'll bring my purse to me. Here you go, Mama. I'm like, oh, jeez.
I love that.
Oh, and I'm like, I just melted. There I am on the floor.
Exactly.
So, oh, man, we can talk forever, but I've got kids to pick up soon. So,
oh, my gosh, I know.
Well, I've got two more questions for you.
Sure.
And so I like to ask this to every one of our guests, but what is your current struggle and current joy?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this today and I definitely know that my struggle is something I've had, I think since I was a kid. And so I'm constantly working on it. And that is patience. Oh. I tend to be very impatient and it is just something that when I see someone who is patient, I just think, oh God, I wish I could be like that.
My husband.
Yeah. Yes. You know, same here. Like just so patient. And I think, man, to be like that, it's just very, and I'm impatient with myself. And that's something I'm working on. I've found that I'm impatient sometimes as a mother and I'm constantly trying to work on that. I don't want to be like that. So that's sort of my struggle, but I'm always dealing with that. And my current joy is that my kids just had their birthdays and I'm always joyful around their birthdays because I think birthdays are, I'm big on birthdays. Not so much for the big hoopla and having a huge party that you spend a bunch of money on, but I love to celebrate the birth of people. I think it's super important. I think it's wonderful to just embrace that they're here on earth with us. And so I was really excited that they just turned 4 and 10 and also cried a little bit. Because having a double digit kid is kind of crazy. And I'm like, I don't even feel old enough to have a kid, let alone a 10-year-old. So.
Right. Are you kidding me? Next year, Jenny's going to be 3 and it like baffles me. I'm beside myself right now.
Yeah. Cause you really, I mean, time goes by exponentially when you have kids. Like it just races out of your fingers and you're like, no, slow down.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, Kendra and I say, with moms of two, just enjoy those little moments.
But. Yeah, because you can't, you're so right. You can't get the time back. Mm-hmm. You can't. You get that one moment and this moment is all you have. And then there's the next moment and they'll never be as young as they are right now. And I know it's hard. It is hard every day to like soak it in because some days you're like, I just want the day to be over.
Yes, but I just want to go sleep.
Yes. But I keep remembering like my mom has 3 kids and we're obviously all grown and she has grandchildren and everything. And she says like, once it's gone, it's gone. And then, you know, and that's, you know, it can be difficult and you'll miss it when it's gone. But it's hard in the moment, I know.
Oh, man. I know I just now this year for 2017, I started journaling and I have, because you and I are busy moms as every mom out there, but I don't have time to write a paragraph as what today happened. And
yeah,
if I even remember.
But exactly.
I have this journal I found on Amazon. And hey, Amazon, if you want to sponsor.
Shout out.
Yeah. It's called Mom's One Liner. I'll put it in the links, but Mom's One Line a Day, something like that. And every day you just write two sentences, one sentence, three sentences on how your day went. And I put down what happened with the girls. Like today the girls played together. Today they fought, you know, or today Teresa ate food.
Yeah.
Just little things because you – I'm telling you, man, it's once it's gone, it's gone. And you want to remember those days.
So. Nope. No, you don't. You think you will. You're like, I don't need to write this down. I'll remember it. And it's like 10 years later to remember stuff from like my first week my daughter was born. Forget it.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
No. Nope. I can't remember. I mean, I'll remember the highlights.
Sure. Yeah, you do. You remember the highlights or random things here and there. But, you know, unless I see a photo or a video or something that jogs my memory, I don't remember it.
Yep.
So, yep. But,
well, Kendra, it was amazing to have you on, and maybe hopefully I can have you on again someday.
Oh, I would love that.
Just to chat.
Yeah. But,
let's see. Oh, if you want to, I mean, I'm sure there's moms out there who are like, who is this lady? I need to talk to her.
I would love to talk to them.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to just tell them where you can find you, and I'll make sure to link that on our website.
Absolutely. So my website is just KendraHennessy.com. That's it. And there's a bunch of fun freebies on the website. You can find a lot of different freebies. You know, we have a I have one of my favorite things is since I spoke about boomerang clutter, I have a video, short video kind of tutorial called End the Boomerang Clutter. And it's basically just kind of a tutorial on how to not only get rid of clutter in your house, but also keep it gone, because that tends to be people's problems is they get rid of it once and then they're like, oh my God, it's been 2 weeks and it's already back in my house. How do I get rid? How do I stop the cycle? So yes, and they can, there's, you know, lots of other goodies to find in there, plus my blog where I'm constantly updating. And yeah, I'd love to connect with everybody there.
Yes, so. I'm sure they can use your help.
Awesome.
I just love how real and honest Kendra is about being a homemaker-ish. And that's really what it's about, guys. And like I said, I think we all deserve to be that Stepford modern mommy. You know, be the woman that you want to be, as well as being the mom that you've always wanted to be. And it's totally, totally possible. Anyway, guys, I hope you guys had learned something from Kendra's tips and tricks. And if you want to contact her for some help in organizing your home, feel free to check out our website at alwayswithme.org. And her links will be down below on her page, or our page with her information. Let me tell you, you will not regret having her help, because she is awesome. All right, guys. Well, I hope you are having a fabulous day. And whether you're listening to this today, tomorrow, a month from now, or maybe even a year from now, know that I am always with you, and God bless, and kisses to you, and kisses to your baby. Mwah. Bye-bye.